Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll take you through the main news of the day. So coming up in the next half hour, just how big a problem is ketamine on the Isle of Man and what is being done to tackle it? Also before 5.30, a Douglas councillor hails proposed reforms to the rate system as a promising first step. We're also going to hear from the firefighter who took on a gruelling challenge in honour of those who lost their lives in the 9/11 attacks. And after very much anticipation, it is finally time for the 54th World Tin Bath Championships. We'll tell you all about that a little bit later. We'll keep an eye on the traffic and the travel, the weather as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The Department of Home Affairs says it's aware of the growing prevalence of ketamine linked to drug gangs targeting the Isle of Man. It follows a report in the Daily Mail early this week which described the island as a hotbed for organised crime, claiming Jerby Prison as being overrun by Liverpool traffickers. Here's Minister Jane Poole-Wilson.
You know, one of the ironies in all of this is as you have success in tackling a problem, you see more reporting of the numbers of people being stopped and the amount of cash and drugs being intercepted to the island.
More than £1 million was spent from Treasury's contingency fund on the clean-up following storms Dara and Eowyn. Work to tackle damage caused at the island's plantations is still ongoing, as more poor weather is expected to hit the island this weekend. The leader of Douglas Council says the government's consultation into improving the rate system is an encouraging first step to dealing with the housing crisis. Councillor Devon Watson says it's unfair that residents, including renters, must pay rates whilst owners of dilapidated or unused properties are exempt. And the Steam Packet Company has confirmed that this weekend's Round the Island cruise has been cancelled. The Manxman was due to depart Douglas at 1 o'clock on Sunday, but it says forecast gales would severely impact passengers' experience on board. Further afield, the suspect in the shooting dead of US right-wing activist Charlie Kirk has been caught.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got him.
That's how Utah Governor Spencer Cox opened a news conference this afternoon. Police in the West Midlands are investigating reports of a racially motivated rape in Albury on Tuesday. The Tories will try to force a vote demanding documents are released about December's appointment of Lord Mandelson as Britain's ambassador to the US. And the Netherlands is joining Ireland in threatening to boycott next year's Eurovision. They won't participate if Israel is allowed to. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at six.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So a bit of a mixed bag this evening. Sunshine and showers. Some of those showers will be heavy at times. The showers will then merge into longer spells of rain for a time overnight. They will clear by the end of the night, though. Fresh to strong southwest winds. It will be quite gusty near those shower times. Minimum temperatures tonight around 9. Tomorrow, mainly dry, sunny intervals to start with, then scattered showers developing. Those will die out later in the day as the fresh to strong southwest winds will ease. Maximum temperatures again tomorrow will be around 16. And then Sunday, dry at first, but that spell of rain will soon arrive from the southwest, turning heavy at times before clearing to isolated showers later in the day. Light southerly winds backing to the southeast and strengthening as the rain arrives. And top temperatures on Sunday of 15. Sunset this evening at 7:43. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:47.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. Now, ketamine is increasingly being flagged as a concern on the Isle of Man. A Deemster issued the warning during the sentencing of a man caught in Douglas with thousands of pounds of worth of the drug. So just how serious is the issue and what steps are being taken to address it? Well, Amy Griffiths has been finding out more.
Ketamine is recognised as a Class B drug. Amid rising issues in the UK, there are conversations about reclassifying it as a Class A one. But would that be the right course of action? I've been speaking to Jason McKee and Thea Azentuk from the charity Motivate.
People will take it, obviously, because they want to change how they feel, and then, you know, they can get that sort of trippy effect from ketamine. But obviously, there's the negative impact of it is that, you know, increased heart rate, blood pressure, and, you know, obviously, it seems to be quite common that there's a thing called ketamine bladder. And that's where it builds up in the bladder. And it's actually, you know, people are in England have had their bladder removed from it. It's needed surgery, so it's quite a nasty drug.
It was a Class C and it was reclassified to a Class B. And during that period of time, it doubled. Its use, it doubled after that. If we're to look at making it a Class A, then it would mean that the penalties would be much harsher. But we're not thinking about the public health. We're not thinking about having a treatment pathway because we'd be just pushing more people into criminality.
The Isle of Man automatically applies any changes to drug classifications. So if the UK were to implement that change, it would also happen here too. And the issue of drugs is one that the Department of Home Affairs is only too aware of. In fact, it was only last week that the Daily Mail described the Isle of Man as a hotbed for organised crime. And it's something we asked the Home Affairs Minister, Jane Poole Wilson.
Part of our response to tackling the harms associated with serious and organised crime was the launch of our Securing Our Island strategy, which we've made a lot of progress on that. One of the ironies in all of this is as you have success in tackling a problem, you see more reporting of the numbers of people being stopped and the amount of cash and drugs being intercepted to the island. So that work remains ongoing. We're in the course of having refreshed that strategy, but the aim really is to maintain the security of the island and reduce the harm and impact from people who would seek to bring criminality.
Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Poole Wilson, who is on Man in Line talking about that subject. There was also there Jason McKee and Thea Ozenturk from Motivate. It's coming up to 5 past 5 and the leader of Douglas Council has described government plans to reform the rate system as an encouraging first step in tackling the housing crisis. Now, Councillor Devon Watson says it's unfair that residents, including renters, have to pay rates while owners of unused or dilapidated properties are exempt. A Treasury consultation is now inviting views on proposals such as ending exemptions for ruinous buildings, introducing discounts and capping the rateable value of quarries. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Councillor Watson about the plans.
This is hugely promising. So Douglas has been pushing to get rid of or change the incentives around derelict properties for years now. And it's really great to see that our work with Treasury on this matter has sort of borne fruit. Douglas can do certain things alone, but an all-island approach is far more effective. And the reason why this is because you're an interconnected housing market. If derelict properties are dealt with across the island by changing their incentives and charging them rates, then we have less pressure on the housing supply business. Need to create as many homes on greenfield sites. We can maybe lower the pressure on rent and on social housing. So this is a win-win move.
Do you think the government proposals go far enough in dealing with the rate system, or would you like to see this consultation like expanded further?
One thing that we would be really keen to see, and we would love to see political support from MHKs on this, is support for the council's ability to charge additional rates on properties that are long-term vacant. We've got maybe 60 or so properties in Douglas that fall into the vacant and dilapidated range, but there's plenty, hundreds or maybe thousands of properties that are in decent condition that can be lived in immediately and are just sitting vacant for one reason or another. And there needs to be an incentive to bring these properties back into use. The total burdens for paying for rates and paying for services can't simply fall on people who live in town. We should rather be encouraging these properties back into occupation. We're in the middle of a housing crisis and we need to start acting like it.
Leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson, talking to Emma Draper there. It's coming up to 10 past five. And a Manx firefighter battled pain and fatigue to complete a gruelling physical challenge in memory of the victims of the 9/11 attacks. Now, yesterday, on the anniversary, Adam Boyd performed 2,977 burpees, representing the number of victims. And he did it to raise money for two charities, Heroes on the Water and the Firefighters Charity. And straight afterwards, he told us how he was feeling.
Really good. I think I've been brought back down to earth, looking after the kids and just playing with them. So yeah, back to just normal dad mode now.
So just tell us, how did it go? 2,977 burpees. How are you feeling? What was the biggest challenge today?
I think the biggest challenge of it all was just, like, understandably, was just the endurance element. And I think it's just further proof how anytime you do something like that, you're never just doing it on your own. I had a team of people that were just helping me throughout. And honestly, it's massive props to the fire service and obviously my loved ones as well, is how just supportive they were. And just, as I said, really, without them, there was no chance I was finishing that.
And one of your colleagues told me you actually popped out an ab. Is that right? Was that painful?
So it was, yeah, my one of my abs was just coming out. So I basically just had to get Blake, who was doing all the clicker and just my guidance and basically my coach for the day. He just had to basically push it back in.
We all know what happened on the day. Was that in your mind when you were thinking, you know, getting towards the end, that last 1,000? Did you keep them in your mind?
Yeah, what was really special, and the team that I had around me didn't really tell me at the time, but when it got to the last 343, which was the first responders that passed during that, they let me know at that point, and it was almost like that gave me that extra kind of bit of oomph that I needed just to finish it. And it was almost like that last 343 just felt so special. And I found myself a couple of times almost getting a little bit choked up. But yeah, as I said, could not have done that without the team that I had around me.
What an incredible thing to do. That was Adam Boyd talking to Lewis there. And you can find a link to his fundraising page at manxradio.com. So far, he's got more than £3,000 that he's raised for those two charities. It's coming up to 12 minutes past five here on Update. And over in the UK, the House of Lords has been holding its first debate on Kim Ledbetter's assisted dying bill today. It comes after it passed in the House of Commons on the 20th of June with a majority of just 23 MPs. Well, you've heard Siobhan on the news for us today, and she's been keeping an eye on this debate and joins us now. So, Siobhan, would you be able to tell us what the general feeling has been across the water today on this?
Well, you'll recall how emotional the debates were for our own legislation here on the island, and we've certainly heard from Lords on both sides of the assisted dying bill today. And as you said there, Beth, MPs only narrowly voted in favour of the legislation back in June, despite concerns some of the safeguards had been watered down. Now, MPs were allowed a free vote on the bill, meaning they didn't have to follow a party policy. Kim Ledbetter brought the legislation forward. She says she wants campaigners' efforts to be rewarded.
They know how much it means to give dying people choice, dignity and autonomy, which is a choice. You don't have to do it. And that's the thing I would keep reiterating to people. We've got an extremely well safeguarded piece of legislation here. Only people that want to make this choice would get through that entire robust process.
Now, in terms of the general mood in London today, you can tell the strength of feeling even just from the sheer number of peers who signed up to speak during the two-day debate. Around 190 peers want to have their say, and if all of them do indeed contribute, then that will break the previous record of 187 speakers that was set during the second reading of the EU withdrawal bill back in 2018. They were all urged to show care and compassion during the discussions over the next 2 days.
Now, Siobhan, you mentioned our legislation there. How does the UK bill differ?
So there are a lot of similarities, but this legislation, if approved, would apply across England and Wales only. It would give adults aged over 18 who are diagnosed with a terminal illness and have a life expectancy of less than 6 months the choice to end their lives. They would have to make two separate witnessed and signed declarations and satisfy two doctors that they're eligible, with at least 7 days between each assessment. Once an application had been approved, the patient would then have to wait 14 days before proceeding, and then a doctor would prepare the substance being used to end their life, but the person would take it themselves.
And so I can imagine that the debate today in the House of Lords has seen a variety of opinions voiced.
Definitely, Beth. And a lot of familiar names have been speaking too. It's been sponsored in the Lords by former Lord Chancellor and Justice Secretary Lord Charlie Falconer, who called for a compassionate discussion.
This bill before us has already given hope to those with personal experience of the injustice of the current law. They will be looking to us to play our proper role. If we can improve it further, we should, and we will have done our duty.
But former Prime Minister Baroness Theresa May is against legalising it. She said she's against the legislation as she doesn't believe the safeguards are adequate.
There is a danger that this could be used as a cover-up for mistakes made in hospital or for perhaps a hospital-acquired illness, infection, which has led to an increased likelihood of death. I have a friend who calls it the licence to kill bill.
Now, the general mood is that it's likely, although not guaranteed, that the House of Lords will approve the bill, given that it did successfully pass through the Commons. If that happens, ministers there would have a maximum of 4 years to implement the measures, meaning it could be 2029 before assisted dying becomes available in the UK.
Siobhan, thank you very much. A really comprehensive look at what's happening there in the UK today. It's just gone 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing to report on the police pages, so it's just the usual things to look out for. Those temporary lights on South Quay, they are causing some delays. They are there for 24 hours a day. That's for patching works. Some other things to look out for this weekend, as we are hearing the Tin Bath races are taking place tomorrow afternoon in Castletown. So there will be restrictions to traffic around the harbour from 1 p.m. And there'll also be some changes to bus services throughout Castletown as well. So do check out those if you are planning to head that way. And the end-to-end walk is taking place on Sunday. That's from the Point of Ayre to the Sound. The route is likely to be busy, and between 12:30 and 4:30, the course will be one way in a southerly direction. So that's between the Round Table and Ballacolawi. And because of anticipated congestion at the end of the route, afternoon bus services to the Sound on Sunday will only run as far as Craigneish. Elsewhere, all looking OK, apart from a little bit of a delay on a couple of flights at the airport. And with the steam packet, the maximum will be due in at around about 6:30, heading out again at 7:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The other thing to note, the steam packet has confirmed that this weekend's Round the Island cruise has been cancelled. It was going to go at 1 p.m. on Sunday, but because of those forecast gales, it would severely impact passengers' experience on board, according to the company. So it is unable to reschedule the cruise to later this year. That's because of schedules generally and the reduction in daylight hours. The steam packet is apologising for any disappointment caused and thanking passengers for their understanding. So anyone who's booked on the trip will receive a full refund back to the payment method that was originally used. Now, Garth Commissioners is holding a meeting for residents to discuss the plans for the sewage treatment works at Axenfell. It'll start at 7 p.m. on the 22nd of October at the Laxey Working Men's Institute, and a representative from Manx Utilities is also expected to be in attendance. Emma Draper has more.
The Commissioners had initially set a date for this month. However, due to the extensive planning application, it agreed to postpone it until October. It says it wants to hear the views of residents on the proposal set out by Manx Utilities. The local authority also believes a representative from the MUA will be able to answer technical and logistical questions from attendees. The application was published on the planning portal at the end of last month, in which Manx Utilities says the continued discharge of untreated sewage into the Irish Sea must stop, and to do nothing is not an option. Documents say the site at Axenfell Plantation will comprise of 5 associated sewage pumping stations at the Cairn, Ballacolister Road, Garwick Glen, Telephone Exchange and Kilkellen. The main plant is due to be built along the southern edge of the plantation, adjacent to Ballacolister Road. Manx Utilities also says that if planning approval is granted, the construction phase would begin in 2026 and could take between 18 and 24 months. The application adds the sewage treatment works process will comprise 3 covered integrated rotating biological contactors, which should provide operational treatment capacity up to 2050. Documents also show the operational lifespan of the proposed development is between 60 and 100 years for civil structures. The commissioners are encouraging all residents to attend and contribute their views at the meeting.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper. 5:18. Well, FC Isle of Man's manager is hoping his squad can be brave and fearless when they host Charnock Richard in the NWCF EFL Premier Division tomorrow night, with the Ravens still stuck at the bottom of the table. Paul Jones has given his thoughts on some of his players, issuing a passionate call to supporters to keep faith in them during an interview in midweek after the team's latest defeat at Cheadle Town. You can hear much more about this in Friday Sport with Rob. That game will kick off at the Bowl tomorrow evening at 6pm. Max Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Well, something else that's happening this weekend is the seventh and final round of the Andreas Racing Association Championship. It's taking place at Jerby. Several championship titles still to be decided there on Sunday. And ahead of the action, ARA Club Secretary Neil Champion says it's been a high quality and well-attended season so far.
It's been really, really good. We've had good entries, good grids, great racing all through the season. So it's fantastic. A couple of classes are settled now, which often happens, you know, before the last event of the year. But we've still got a few that are going to go down to the wire. The ones that are still to be settled, the big solo centre championship is still going down to the wire, although it has to be said that Jamie Kringle's got quite an advantage there. But a couple of the ones that are really quite close, the novice and clubman's championship, which is definitely up for grabs as well, and also the what we're calling the super sport championship now, which is essentially what the 600s, although with the new rules you can ride other machines as well. But the two riders who are going for that are Carl Casement and Grant. They are so fast and they give no quarter, so I'm sure those are going to be races that are really, really worth seeing.
There seems to continually be this conveyor belt of young talent coming through the sport into whichever class. Would you say that that's been the case again this year?
Yeah, perhaps even more so, really. You know, Sean Crone has really gone from strength to strength. He's done lots of meetings across as well and shown well, as well as around Redmond as well, but lots of other ones. So, you know, those guys are really representing us, representing the island and the club really well. And I will just briefly mention the Celtic Match races. We'll come back to that, but there is a junior class in that event, and we're really proud of our really strong riders who are going to be in that class. We're there both days, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, just a test day, so you won't see actually racing, but there will be bikes on track from 9:30 in the morning, and it's only £3 to get in and free for under 16s. Race day on Sunday, again, practice starts at 9:30. First races go off. We run a few before lunch. If you're a member of the club, you get in for free, but otherwise, it's only £6 to get in, and again, under 16s are free.
That's the club secretary for the Andreas Racing Association, Neil Champion, talking about the seventh and final round of the championship taking place at Jerby this weekend. Honestly, if you've never been up there to watch it, it is well worth going. I mean, hopefully the weather's going to be okay, but come rain or shine, I'm sure they will be there. So it's happening testing tomorrow and then that racing on Sunday from 9:30. So do go and support so many of the local racers who are taking part in that. And speaking of something else to support this weekend, and it is that time of year again when the Isle of Man really does take to the global stage, though perhaps in rather an unusual fashion, because the World Tin Bath Championships are coming back for the 54th time. The event taking place tomorrow in Castletown's Middle Harbour. Hundreds of competitors expected. As we know, there will be some restrictions to traffic in and around Castletown. Well, organiser Boris Kitchen has been telling Chris Williams how the prizes have evolved over the years.
Back in the day, it was the world champion got a Lisa bottle of Hussar vodka and 200 Rothmans cigarettes.
That's it. Can't do that nowadays.
No, you can't do it. No, they're all prepper athletes now.
Yes, of course. Tell me about the tin baths. Do you supply the tin baths, or can people? Do they have to be a specific size?
Yeah, they can be no longer than 5 foot long.
Right.
I think it's 18 inches deep. But it's just a standard bath. We do provide them. We have plenty if anybody still wants to turn up.
So it's been running since 1971. All starts at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. All the fun of the fair for all the family without the fair.
It is. There's plenty for kids to do. We've got a rope slide so you can try and land in a hoop in the middle of the harbour. Kids love that. Yeah. They're in and out, queuing up. We have last year's winners, Steve Watt and Abigail Quinn. They're defending their titles.
Those are tin bath winners?
Yeah, they are. Male and female.
Yeah.
We've got David Kelly, who's serial best dressed bath winner. It's his 50th year of doing it. He's done a laxy wheel. He's done loads of things.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He's a genius with cardboard and duct tape.
Can't do without it. One of the greatest inventions on the planet.
And we have quite a few people coming over from around the world. Chapel on the Frith in the Peak District, Bury St Edmunds, Arth in Wales, Stevenage, London, and there's a lady from the Czech Republic coming to. All coming to have a go.
Because it is world famous, after all.
It is. Yeah. It's world famous in the Isle of Man.
Certainly is. Organiser of the World Tin Bath Championships, Boris Kitchen, who was talking to Chris Williams earlier this week on The Morning Show. There's also man-powered flight as well. There is so much to see. The snake races all getting underway from 2:30. So if you've never been down there before, Chris Kinney's also commentating as well. And Rob Pritchard, I reckon it's quite a skill commentating on a bath race. I haven't.
I think it could be a very niche skill, but a very important skill here on the Isle of Man.
Very important skill indeed. I won't ask you if you've ever been in a bath before. You can just tell us about sport.
I can indeed. So we're looking ahead to this weekend largely because we're going to start with football, and the reigning Canada Life Men's Premier League champions will host the current league leaders as part of the latest Isle of Man football fixtures this weekend. In what could be a mouth-watering early fixture in the season tomorrow, title holders Peel will welcome a Corinthians team, which is one of three sides boasting a perfect record of 3 wins from 3 so far. Also among Saturday's top flight clashes, Russian United and Laxey, also looking to maintain perfect Premier League starts, face Douglas High School All Boys and Air United, respectively. Elsewhere in Ardern and Drugger Limited Division 2, Castletown will be out to preserve their current 100% record at the league summit when they travel to Douglas and District. Meanwhile, Sunday will mark the opening weekend of the 25-26 Canada Life Women's League. Among the ties, last season's champions Peel will travel to last year's Women's FA Cup finalists Malou. The Women's Division will also see two new teams involved this campaign, Union Mills and Russian United. You can view a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. In rugby, a trio of Manx sides are on their travels for their respective second league games of the new season. After an opening day victory at Portishead 6 days ago, Douglas face a potentially tough task at Sandbach in Regional 2 Northwest on Saturday at 2 p.m. Elsewhere, after both suffered opening day defeats last week, Vagabonds and Ramsey are back on the road in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire. In the earlier kickoff at 1 p.m. tomorrow, Vagabonds are at Congleton, who beat Ramsey last time out. Ramsey themselves take on Bury across the water at 3 p.m. the same day. And in hockey, the 2025-26 Isle of Man season gets underway this weekend. Saturday will see the opening day fixtures of the latest mixed season, with matches getting underway from just after 11 a.m. and running throughout tomorrow afternoon. Among the ties, defending Premier League champions Backers A face newly promoted Castletown Southerners, and there's an interclub derby in the top flight between Vikings A and Vikings B. You can see a full programme of tomorrow's opening hockey ties on our website.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob, and do stay tuned, because while that's all from Update tonight, it is the Friday Sport Preview with Rob coming up in just a few moments. So all the details about the fixtures that are happening this weekend. After that, it will be Greatest Hits with Kinners from 6 at 9. It's Jumping In with the Kane Brothers, Howard and Chris. And then Rhiannon will be with you for After Hours from 10. So lots to come still on Manx Radio this evening. Whatever you're doing this weekend, do have a good one. We'll be bringing you news from the World Tin Bath Championships and also the Andrews Racing Association as well. And for any details about all tonight's top stories, just go over to the Manx Radio website. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you again soon.